SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Check out the Sports Grid app. It's phenomenal, and it's free on iOS and in the Play Store for Android. Follow your favorite hosts like Warren Sharp. You can get every clip he does all week long on Sports Grid. You can follow Pharrell. You can get everything odds, in-game odds, stories, highlights, stats, analytics. It's got the TV side on it. You can watch the shows. You can listen on the radio side on it. I mean, the app does it all. Check it out on iOS or in the Play Store for Android. Go to sportsgrid.com/watch to see the many platforms that you can find. Sports Grid, we're everywhere. All right, to the National Harbor MGM we go, to the BetMGM Sportsbook. We know what happens on Thursdays. Fans clamor for the mad scientist. And here he is, Warren Sharp. And look, he's waving. Screaming his name like Elvis. We're ready. He's trying to hold him at bay. All right, here we go. We got Carolina and Chicago tonight at Soldier Field. Warren, good to see you.
Good to see you, Scott. Yeah, this game, obviously, is not the most attractive game on the slate. Obviously, this slate is not the most attractive week of this NFL season, but there's still betting opportunities. There's still things that we're going to be looking to attack. I'm going to be diving into a couple of props that I like in the next segment, the lion's share segment, I guess. It's two segments from now, potentially, but stick around for that. Look, we got Tyson Bagent going up against this defense of the Carolina Panthers, and let's face it, the New Orleans Saints, I teased them last week, and I felt like they should have done better because they were, what, +5 in turnovers against this Bears team? Tyson Bagent kept turning the ball over, but yet this Bears defense hung around, and they really limited the rushing attack of the Saints offense. I think that's exactly what they're going to be able to do in this game against the Carolina Panthers. They're favored at home, and I think they're going to do a really good job of bottling up this Carolina Panthers team. There are a number, Scott, there are a number of defenses this year that have better run defenses than we remember them having, like that we have seen these teams have in years past. The Jacksonville Jaguars are one such team. The Detroit Lions are one such team. The Chicago Bears are another such team. This is a very good run defense, and I don't think enough people realize that. I think the Carolina Panthers are going to be in trouble with Bryce Young because they're going to be trying to hand the ball off, and those runs are not going to do anything. And then they're going to have to look and try to pass the ball on predictable passing situations, and you're going to get Sweat and these other pass rushers of the Bears to be able to pin their ears back and really go after them. I think that this is a really good opportunity for the Chicago Bears. That being said, I'm not going to lay the number with them. I don't see enough value here from a betting perspective on a full game side or total in this game tonight. But I do think there are a number of interesting angles. And obviously, I was sort of keeping my fingers crossed, hoping we would see Justin Fields. That's not going to be the case. We get to see T-Bag for one more game potentially. And I'm interested to see what he does with this opportunity.
Let me ask you, what did you think when you saw that gigantic deal they gave Sweat? I gotta be honest with you, I almost fell over. Like, that guy, I'm sorry. He's not worth that money.
No, it's rare. Look, what do teams do that are making these types of deals mid-season, that they are able to trade for a player, they're able to get him under a new contract? It's rare that these deals really work out in strong favor for the team that is making that move, because there's a little bit of desperation that's involved there. Well, we need a pass rusher, so we're going to spend up a little bit more. This move, though, just further illustrates an issue that I have personally with the Chicago Bears and Matt Eberflus and like his management of this team. Is think about all the players that they're bringing in on the defensive side of the ball to help out this defense, of which Matt Eberflus, the defensive minded head coach, is really responsible for. They're not really bringing in, obviously they got DJ Moore, but other than that, they have not done much to help solidify things on the offensive side of the ball to really help out this Chicago Bears offense. So I was hoping that this team needs to get a little bit more offensive-minded as opposed to defensive-minded in the future with some of their personnel moves. I did not really love this move, but look, I think he played a really great game last week, and he's out to prove that he's worth that money. I'm looking forward to see what he does tonight against Bryce Young, which, let's face it, I mean, it's just been a struggle for him. I do not like the way that this offense is trending. Over 30% of his pass attempts went to running backs last week, and the Indianapolis Colts were a really good defense defending running back passes, really bad defense defending wide receiver passes, yet they were kept dumping the ball off to running backs. That will actually play into a prop that I have later on, and it should be successful in this game tonight, but I just don't like the philosophy overall, and even though they gave off play calling duties to Davis, I do not feel like this offense really seemed to be trending in the right direction after what I saw last week.
Well, we talked about earlier on the show that, C.J. Stroud's been way better than him. And now Carver High added that Will Levis played two games and he's been better than Bryce Young as well. Don't you think he's been disappointing so far as the number one pick?
I would hesitate to say that you could strongly argue anything other than it's been disappointing. It's not entirely his fault, but there are absolutely things that I don't like about the way that he's playing, nor do I like about this offense in general. And I think that they need to do a better job to give him more support. But then again, I mean, he just, in the clutch situations, in those moments, he has not seemed to be able to deliver. And that's hard to watch if you're a Panthers fan, because you're seeing a guy down in Houston in C.J. Stroud who's doing that exact thing that your quarterback is not doing. So there's a massive juxtaposition there between each of those quarterbacks. It is tough to watch, and it is hard to feel like you made a mistake, that you didn't make a mistake when you went out and traded and moved up to number one to go ahead and take Bryce Young, when you see what C.J. Stroud is doing down in Houston.
I mean, the Bears have to be laughing at this point. It looks like Fields will be back their next game, which will be in 10 days. So the thumb will be, he's this close now, right? And then, so this will be Bajan's last start. Is that about right?
I believe that's the case.
How do you think Bajan is done?
About as good as can be expected. You know, it's a tough circumstance. The team is not great. Last week's game was a very difficult situation on the road against a good Saints defense. I think this game, the Carolina Panthers are down a bunch of defensive players. I think I got to look at the final injury report tonight, but it looked like it was trending that they were down a lot of defensive players. That's going to give a lot more upside for Bajan here tonight. This coaching staff better come up with a little bit of a better, more efficient game plan. I'm interested to see if he runs the ball like he did last week as well. I think his rushing prop was only like 22 and a half yards. He easily cleared that in two of his three games that he's played with Chicago. So use those legs, young fella. If you get in trouble in the pocket, it's far better than throwing an interception for sure.
Well, sometimes I always think that when two really bad teams hook up, it ends up being a good game. Hopefully tonight that number where it's at, then it'll go over that. There'll be some touchdowns because both defenses stink. And let's see if they can score some points tonight and at least make it entertaining. When we come back, we're going to talk about Houston-Cincinnati, what the Texans need to do, Tennessee-Tampa, Indy, New England and Germany, you name it, we got it with Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You can follow him at Sharp Football on X, and everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. And sharpfootballanalysis.com is his website, and it is top shelf status. Our lead analyst, Warren Sharp, with us from the MGM National Harbor, per usual on a Thursday. I'm Pharrell in New York. All right, let's start up with the Texans and Bengals in the jungle. What do the Texans need to start working on? You're talking about avoiding halftime deficits.
Yeah, they absolutely have to avoid halftime deficits. And one thing I just want to mention, Scott, about the website at sharp.football, go to sharp.football. We're giving everything away for free 7 days. So you can go check that out, 7 days of access for everything. I could not believe this when I researched it because I love Lou Anarumo. I love the defense that he brings to the table for the Cincinnati Bengals, but I still thought that these numbers were hard to believe. You can look at all the second half adjustments he makes and how superior his defense is in the second half. However, over the last 2 years, if you are playing the Bengals and you are losing at halftime, you are 0-13. Dating back to the last 19 games that you have played the Bengals, if you are losing at halftime, you are 0-19. No other team in the NFL can say that. No other defense in the NFL can say that. And even more remarkable, so you're a team that's losing to the Bengals at halftime. Obviously, you're going to come out, you're going to try to pass the ball, you're going to get really aggressive, you're trying to do whatever you can to score points because you know you're losing and you got Joe Burrow on the other side. You need to get back into this game. Anarumo's defense is allowing just 4.1 points in the third quarter of these games and just 3.4 points in the fourth quarter. They are allowing barely over a touchdown in the second half of these games to teams that are desperate to score. They're throwing out their runs. They're just trying to pass the ball and be extra aggressive, and they're still barely scoring a touchdown the entire second half. This defense is elite. Anarumo's adjustments at halftime are elite, best in the NFL. So what does that mean? The Texans better come out here, Scott, and get aggressive early. Try to build a lead, and they're not going to build a lead when they turn to the run. This team is a bottom five offense when they run the ball on early downs so far this season, and they are a top five offense when they pass the ball on early downs. Yet for some reason, they went into Carolina off of a bye against a bad Carolina Panthers run defense and decided, guess what, we're going to run the ball from heavier personnel. We use our 21 personnel. We're just going to run from it. These runs were terrible, yet their passes were efficient with C.J. Stroud. They absolutely must figure out that it's in their best interest, and they started doing this more last week. They came out the gates against the Bucs and passed the ball here. Though they are going on the road, and though they are playing a tough defense in the Cincinnati Bengals, if they come out here and think we're going to run the ball against this defense and we're going to be conservative, and C.J. Stroud, he's a rookie on the road, we want to try to keep the game close, they are not going to have success running the ball. They are going to fall into a deficit at halftime, and you can, you know, kiss the fat lady singing, kiss, give her a kiss goodnight, whatever you want to do with her. This game is going to be over in favor of the Cincinnati Bengals. There's not going to be comebacks on the road. So they better come out and pass the ball early.
Well, let me ask you a couple questions. One, the Bengals, you know, they handled the Bills. They handled the Niners. You talk about their defense. Burrow's healthy. He looked, you know, fantastic in San Francisco. And then I thought he looked pretty good against the Bills, all things being equal. Are they the most dangerous team now in the AFC other than the Chiefs that could beat the Chiefs? So that's question one. And question two is, I thought the end of that Houston game was insane, that he went down there in 44 seconds, 75 yards, and scored. And then I had a minus two and a hook. They win by two. And they took a knee instead of letting the kicker kick. And people were kind of enjoying watching the running back kick because he made one. God, what a horrible beat to lose that way. I couldn't believe it.
That is absolute bad luck. Hopefully that gets out of your system. You get back on to the winning side of the ledger here. But I think that number one, C.J. Stroud, is just amazing. It's remarkable. As hard as it is for me to be critical of Bryce Young, and you don't love saying too many negative things about a young guy who's just learning his way and it's an uphill battle with the team that he's on, like, it's just so refreshing to see a guy come in and absolutely kill it. Like, absolutely play the position at an elite level. As young as he is, it's remarkable. And then with regard to the Bengals, this team is dangerous. This team can be extremely efficient. They got the play action game going because they could get Joe Burrow under center a little bit more. And this offense opened up a lot more with the play action game. We'll talk about the Bills defense against play action later on in the show. They had a lot of success in doing that. We got to get Jamar Chase back. I don't know if he's going to be 100% for this game. And then you got a couple of guys on the Houston Texans side, like Nico Collins, who's their wide receiver number one, who missed the practice, I think, the last 2 days. I think he missed today as well. So there are some question marks at the receiver position for both of these squads. But I think the Bengals are absolutely a dangerous Bears team. I do not think their defense is as talented as it's been in years past, but by the time they get closer to late in the season, they're going to be coached up to be more effective. I don't think they're a great defense now. They have the ability to be an extremely good defense later on when it comes time for playoffs. I would love to see a matchup with Vic Fangio and Lou Anarumo on the other side of the ball and then get Tua to go up against Joe Burrow. How fun would that be? I hope that that is one of the matchups that we get this playoffs in the AFC.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's talk about Tennessee and Tampa now. I saw Will Levis just even at practice. They showed that clip of him working out, and he was doing like leg work, and he was, you know, running, jumping over things. And, you know, we've already seen his guns on the field when he's playing. Seen him throw. His arms are gigantic. I never saw how powerful his legs were. He is absolutely ripped from head to toe. He's got to be the most ripped quarterback in the NFL. I mean, a guy looks like he could play linebacker in the NFL. He's so muscular and athletic looking. Now, I'm certain why they drafted him. Even though he stunk at Kentucky, his size and body and strength and just the look of it was it's just ominous.
Yeah, I guess you're saying he's like an Adonis, the anti-Tom Brady when he was drafted out of Michigan, potentially.
Yeah.
But the main thing that this team needs to do for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have to understand this simple point. They are a pass-first team. They need to be a pass-first team because their run game absolutely stinks. And 2 weeks ago before the Buffalo Bills game, they came out and they said everybody, from Dave Canales, their offensive coordinator, to Todd Bowles, their head coach, to Baker Mayfield, to their left tackle, Tristan Wirfs, they all said they needed to be passing the football a little bit more because they try as they might, they can't run it. And yet what do? They come out and they still have a higher run rate on early downs of the first three quarters in week 8 against the Bills than they had in any game that season. And then the very next week, last week, against the Houston Texans, they come out and have an even higher run rate on early downs in the first three quarters. I don't know what this team thinks, that the more run plays that we call, the more points that we get on the scoreboard, but these runs are highly ineffective. They're averaging like 2.3 yards per carry, one of the worst rates in the NFL. Meanwhile, their passes are substantially more effective. Dave Canales, he comes from Pete Carroll in the Seattle Seahawks. They were a run-first team, but they have to realize, and like, I don't know how many times you can, you know, fool me once, fool me twice, fool me 10 times. Like, this team needs to be passing the ball a lot more on early downs, and they will be able to have success against this Tennessee Titans defense if they do, because the Titans are very susceptible to passes. They are much better against the run. It's a pass funnel defense. They've got injuries in their secondary. If not now, when do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need to come out and start passing the ball early and often in this game? But I mean, we see the coaching staff, and we don't have confidence in that we'll be able to do that. It's the assumption of rational coaching, but at some point, somebody send this video to Dave Canales, get this on his iPhone, let him see this, and make some adjustments quickly, because you can win this game against the Tennessee Titans if you simply just pass the ball more on early downs. It's that simple.
And how did they take the lead against Houston? Passing the ball. They didn't take the lead running the ball. They did it passing. When we come back, we got the lion's share. We're going to talk about the game in Germany. We got the Niners and Jags and Duval. It's Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
All right, BetMGM customers can receive a 25% increased odds boost token to use on an NHL wager. I already told you can get the boost for the NBA. How about we got it for the NHL as well at BetMGM? Minimum minus 300 odds and a max stake of $25. Sign into your BetMGM account to get the details, or go to BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. The odds boost token. Rockstar status. I love that. Odds boost token for NBA and NHL games. Check it out. I think you're going to dig it. If you haven't signed up for a BetMGM account, go do it. Deposit money and get going. Lock and load. All right. Back to the National. National Harbor MGM and the BetMGM Sportsbook. Warren Sharp with us, our lead analyst. So let's roll with your lion's share picks for today.
Yeah, there's a couple that I like. I don't know, we're going to start with Miles Sanders. Miles Sanders plays tonight, and obviously he was the second running back for the Carolina Panthers. He got hurt, though. He started out the season as the starter, then got hurt. Chuba Hubbard has been taking over, but it looks like they're going to get back to utilizing Miles Sanders a little bit more this week. And that's going to bode well for his receiving yards. I like his prop for receptions over 1.5, but I also like, for cheaper price, Miles Sanders over 10.5 receiving yards. He cleared this in every single game to start, like the first 4 weeks. Then he got hurt midway through week five. Like he eventually couldn't go. They had to pull him out because he was just too banged up. He was dealing with an injury for a couple of weeks. Then he didn't play week six. Then they had a bye week seven. Then he wasn't fully healthy week eight. They didn't integrate him all the way back into the offense. And then last week, he got a little bit work in the second half and went over this number again. So basically, whenever this guy's healthy and has actually played, he's gone over this number. And I told you already previously that while against a lot of teams, running back passes are not that effective, against the Chicago Bears, they rank dead last in yards per reception to running back targets on the season. They're the worst in the NFL at allowing yardage to running backs. And Miles Sanders, he's caught 2+ balls in basically every single game that he's been playing in. So I like a little bit of Miles Sanders reception yardage over, as well as a touch on the receptions over, although there's a little bit more juice that you have to pay for that.
What about Rashad White of the Buccaneers? You got a piece on him for this Sunday.
Yeah, I've been betting Rashad White's receiving yardage ever since the entire Bucs team came out and said that we're going to start passing the ball more. And what has ended up happening is they are still passing the ball to Rashad White out of the backfield. I mean, I pulled up his yardage totals. He's had 46, 70, and 65 receiving yards the last 3 weeks. This prop right here is 25.5. I think I bet it earlier today at like 23.5. I still think it has value at 25.5. He's very effective when he catches the ball in space, making hay, and you're going up against a defense right now that you should not be running the ball on. So again, it's the assumption of rational coaching. They're probably not going to listen. They're probably still going to run it more than they should. That being said, this is a great opportunity to capitalize on the fact that they still, although they're running him too much, are passing the ball a lot more to Rashad White over the last several games, and he's been clearing this number with ease. I expect that to continue against the Tennessee Titans.
The Ravens and Browns in the Charm City, you got a piece on the Ravens in the first half, right?
I do, and here's the thing. This bet is as much pro-Ravens and Lamar Jackson as it is anti-Deshaun Watson and Cleveland Browns. Look, Kevin Stefanski, when he first got all the accolades for being a great play caller, is because in Minnesota, he was using a lot of heavy personnel with his quarterbacks there, passing the ball from run looks, running the ball very creatively. He brought that with him to Cleveland. They were doing the same type of thing with Baker Mayfield, a lot of heavier personnel to give the quarterback protection, passing the ball to tight ends with an extra running back on the field, an extra tight end on the field. Very effective offense. But now with Deshaun Watson, he's doing almost nothing but 11 personnel, because that's what Deshaun Watson likes from his time in Houston. But that's not really what made Kevin Stefanski a special play caller and designer of offense. Him being sort of shoehorned into having to utilize 11 personnel all the time has not been effective at all. I also think that, having watched Deshaun Watson with my own two eyes, he is still a terrible quarterback right now. He has not shaken the rust off. At this point, I don't think it's rust. I think he's just become a bad quarterback. And though he still at times has flashes on some downfield accuracy once in a while, or a ability to escape the pocket once in a while, he's making mistakes. And I think against this defense, the Ravens defense, let's talk about them for a second. They rank number one in EPA per attempt allowed to 11 personnel, which is basically what the Cleveland Browns offense lives in currently. They also rank number one in EPA per attempt on passes that go 15 plus yards down the field, which is one of the things that Deshaun Watson likes to do. He loves to, from 11, chuck the ball down the field deep. This is the best defense in the NFL against that. For those reasons, I think that the Cleveland Browns offense is going to be very stagnant to start this game. I don't think they're going to come out crisp, hit the ground running on the road in Baltimore. I think they're going to struggle a little bit. I think that's going to set up the Ravens' own offense in some good field position spots. Whether or not they score on a defensive score or something like that, that would be asking too much probably based on my luck this year. I'm not getting any of that good luck. I'm having to win just with the luck going against me, and I've been doing that. But in this game, I think we're going to get maybe some good field position for the Baltimore Ravens here, and this team has just been an absolute tank offensively. I know Lamar's a little bit worse against man coverage, and that's what the Cleveland Browns live in, but Lamar Jackson, he's 5-0 against the Cleveland Browns. He's played really good against this team when he is healthy, barring the game. I think he got hurt in the first quarter of last year's game, and he missed the game 2 years ago entirely, or maybe I have those reversed. In either case, Lamar's done really well against this defense. He did really well week one. They put up, I want to say, 28 points in the first half or something close, 21 points in the first half in week one, and in week four, rather. And that was when this Ravens team was on the road and not playing nearly as good as they are right now. So I think the Ravens come out and are able to score a little bit in the first half of this game against this Cleveland Browns defense.
They're going to rue the day they gave that guy $260 million, the Browns.
Yeah, I think they already are. You know, behind closed doors, I'm sure that they already are. It has not been pretty. This defense, after the way that game started last week, I saw the way these defensive players were on the field acting as if, like, this is all on us. This is all on our shoulders. We are going to have to win this game for the team. And they've really done a great job of doing that. They've set up the Deshaun Watson-led offense, or sometimes the P.J. Walker-led offense, in great field position. This defense is playing well overall. But one interesting element to it, Jim Schwartz, they overplay certain things, and they get gashed in the ground game. Though they have a good overall run defense, they're allowing certain running backs to break off like 20, 30-yard runs here and there, flipping the field position like that. Don't be surprised if, like, Gus Bus has, you know, very little yards for a while and then breaks off one or two longer chunks to flip the field position. Lamar Jackson maybe uses his legs against this man coverage defense. I absolutely agree with you, though, on your thoughts on Deshaun Watson and the Browns.
What do you think of this Colts-Pats game in Germany?
I think that everybody wants to sell the New England Patriots after they blew the game against the Washington Commanders, and I'm not going to line up and do that. I'm not going to jump off the cliff like a lemming and go take the Indianapolis Colts here. I think that the New England Patriots make for an outstanding teaser light, and here's why. Since 2021, this team has been bad since 2021, right? Like, terrible coaching, terrible offensive play calling. We got defensive coordinators calling plays for the offense. Like, it's been an epic disaster since 2021. And yet, in their 19 games that they have played off of a loss, they've only lost two of those 19 games by more than 7 points. So off of a loss, this team, I took out one game where they played on a short week. So on a normal week of rest, they've been 19 such games off of a loss. They've only lost two of 19 by more than 7 points. I like getting them over the 7 in a teaser here. I think they're going to have some success against this Indianapolis Colts defense. This is a very bad defense. And if you look at the New England Patriots offense, they've gone up against some good defenses and they get shut out. They do nothing against them. But against the other defenses that they played, they're averaging 20 points per game in all other games besides a game against the Cowboys, a game against the Jets, and a game against the Saints, all of which have significantly better defenses than this really struggling Indianapolis Colts bunch. So I like the Patriots in teasers.
What do you think of the Jags' chances at home against the Niners? The Niners have been slipping horribly, lost three in a row. Meanwhile, the Jags have been on fire.
Yeah, I got a ref analyst, Joe, at my website, Sharp Football Analysis. You guys should go check out his article this week. Talks about the ref for this game and how this provides an upside for the Jacksonville Jaguars catching points at home. You know, the San Francisco 49ers off of a bye. Kyle Shanahan typically has not come out super strong. I'm really waiting on this game to find out whether or not Trent Williams is going to be playing. He did not practice yesterday. They said, oh, yeah, we're going to get him up tomorrow. We're planning on having him practice on Thursday and Friday. I got to wait to see if he actually practices, because he's going to make a massive difference. I understand Debo is back. What I really want to understand is whether Trent Williams is back. But the key here is, do you get pressure on Trevor Lawrence or not? But the key in this game really is pressure on both sides of the ball. Brock Purdy is night and day splits when he's pressured, and Trevor Lawrence is the second most sensitive quarterback to pressure of any quarterback in the NFL. You add in Chase Young on the other side of Bosa. This is going to be a pass rush that's going to try to get after him. They got to come up with a game plan to get the ball out of Trevor Lawrence's hands before that pressure hits home, because he has been terrible this season when he's been put under pressure.
Yeah, I can't wait to see who goes on a deeper run in the playoffs. The Niners, let's say, you know, hypothetically they make it and they're in the playoffs like everybody thought they were in the Super Bowl. I think those dreams have faded quite a bit. And then Jacksonville's going to the playoffs, and I want to see which team goes further. When we come back, we got a lot of games to hit.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so don't forget, when you go to sharpfootballanalysis.com, we got a giant story on the ref assignments that his guy Joe Gibbs wrote. Also, there's a giant link to the free week. Free is me. It's like, you know, I'm always telling you people, like, if it's free, I mean, we are all in as a community. Anything free. I mean, the fact that Sharp's got a free week, this is better than sex. Are we on the air? We are? All right. Let's start with the Packers and Steelers. And this one's in Pittsburgh, and the Steelers are coming off another win. People keep making fun of the Steelers as they sit 5-3.
Yeah, well, you know what's worse than sex, Scott, is Matt Canada and the Steelers' offense. This thing just does not score. This does not score. They have scored one touchdown against the offensive touchdown against the Ravens, one offensive touchdown against the Niners, one offensive touchdown against the Browns, and one offensive touchdown against the Jaguars. Why am I mentioning those four teams specifically? Because those were all the only four defenses that rank above average that they've played. Now they're going up against the Green Bay Packers, who also have an above average defense. Neither of these teams gets off the bus and is ready to play. Both of these teams start slow. You see it yourself being a Steelers fan. Kenny Pickett, maybe in the fourth quarter, get some things going. They just don't play well to start games. Unless they're hitting some like corner sideline shots to Pickens, I just think that this team is going to struggle to successfully move the ball on early downs. And at the beginning of this game, they're probably going to stick to the run a little bit because they had some success last week with their running backs. But I don't know that that's going to matriculate the ball all the way down the field. I think this game starts off slowly. I wouldn't be interested in laying it, but I don't have any confidence. It's sad state when there's an offense run by the Green Bay Packers that you have less confidence in to cover a three on the road in Pittsburgh than you do Steelers offense, which also is just horribly dysfunctional. So I don't like either offense here. I would only look towards the under.
I'm just glad a guy gave me 50 over face for my tickets. So they threw to Pickens once last week, which is embarrassing. I mean, he's your best receiver, and he really is. He's the fastest, best receiver. Johnson hadn't had a touchdown in 2 years. He finally caught one. So I don't want to hear about how great he is. I mean, the bottom line is they don't throw to either one of them, at least effectively. I'll give you that much. All right, let's break down this Monday night game. Denver and Buffalo and the B-Lo. You got a lot for me on Sean Payton's game script.
Yeah, when you watch this game Monday night, I know it's far down the road. Just think back to this video. Maybe we'll repost it at SportsGrid. Follow SportsGrid on Twitter. They'll repost this video, I'm sure, on Monday, and we'll be talking about the game scripting of Sean Payton. This offense of the Denver Broncos ranks number 3 in yards per drive on the opening drive of games. You wouldn't think it, but they do. They also rank number 1 in rate of opening drives that actually score touchdowns. Why is that important? Well, it's because it lines perfectly with the weakness of the Sean McDermott defense, and that is that they allow the fourth most yards per drive on opening drives themselves. And 44% of those opening drives allow into the red zone. So they're allowing trips down into the red zone. That might allow the Denver Broncos to come out with a good situation after the first, you know, quarter or so, where they're not in a big deficit. They might even have a lead here as a 7.5-point underdog. And if they're able to play from like a neutral game script state, they're going to be able to run the ball. And that's the biggest thing you have to avoid with Russell Wilson on the road on Monday night. You cannot have him in a situation where he's trailing by 10 points in the third quarter, just chucking the ball all over the field. It's going to result in disaster. But what you can do is if they get a lead or the game is close, they'll be able to run it. And I think they'll have success running it against this Bills defense, which is not very good against the run. I think they're going to allow some explosive plays on the ground to these Denver Broncos running backs. And I think they're going to have enough success moving the ball down the field and doing just enough to put up some points here. And I just don't know. People are asking me what's going on with the Buffalo Bills offense. There's a lot of problems with offenses that should be a lot better than what they currently are. But the last thing I'll leave you with, Scott, in this game is something that I was scratching my head over last night and then early this morning. This line in the summer was Buffalo Bills -6.5. This was a Buffalo Bills team that was supposed to win 11 games, supposed to be healthy, and supposed to be number two in the AFC. They're right. None of those things. They're 5-4. Their quarterback is injured. Half their defense is out. They've got more defensive injuries right now. How is this team now, instead of laying 6.5, they're laying 7.5? I don't like that price. I think there is a little bit of value on the Denver Broncos here.
Wow. You heard it here, fans. And I think he's right. I think and I've said this over and over on this show, that the Bills are not who everyone thinks they are. They're overrated. They're not that good. Those days are over. They got all kinds of injuries and problems, and it hasn't been working. They won the other day, and they barely won. I'll give you, they won. Winning is better than anything else. But 24-18, no one saw that coming. I covered in that game as well. All right, New Orleans, Minnesota. How do you think Josh Dobbs will do at home getting three? And he's got confidence after that great game last week in Atlanta. Let's face it, he got done.
He did, and that was like one of the most surprising, unexpected results and performances that I can remember a quarterback performing in recent memory. Granted, when he first came into the game, it looked horrible. Like a disaster. I mean, he was fumbling the ball all over the place. I was like, what are we doing here with this guy? But right. He got settled down and he ended up having some success. I think Dennis Allen, now that he knows this is the quarterback I'm going to be going up against, will have a game plan to help limit the effectiveness of Josh Dobbs in the offense. But the most interesting thing to me is the other side of the ball, because I think that Brian Flores and this Minnesota Vikings defense are going to have some things up their sleeve for Derek Carr. Number one, they play this style of defense with their zone that prevents some of the deeper shots. Like, I looked at Rashid Shaheed's prop number last week. It was only 33.5 yards. He still went underneath of it after having like over 100 the week before. I'm not sure what his prop number is this week, but they are unlikely to have a lot of deep success against this Minnesota Vikings defense. And in addition, Minnesota has been surprisingly, we talked about some of these teams that have had bad defenses in 2020, 2021, actually having good, surprisingly good run defenses this year. The Vikings are another team to throw into that category. The run defense is really good, so I don't see Derek Carr getting a lot of support from the ground game. And the other thing that Flores does, they bring a lot of pressure. They send a lot of blitzes, number one highest blitz rate. Derek Carr doesn't fare very well against blitzes and against pressure. So there's a lot of things to me that make it seem like this is going to be a problem for the Saints offense to have a lot of success moving the ball. To their credit, I love the fact that they've made adjustments down inside the red zone. They're running Taysom Hill a lot more down there. They're having Taysom Hill throw the ball a little bit more, and they're running Alvin Kamara as well. They're mixing and matching things in the red zone. I think it's definitely helped their offense. It's going to help them moving forward as well. Very smart. I love that move, but I think this game is going to be a little bit lower scoring than some people think.
How do you think Atlanta's going to do in zona? And it looks like Kyler Murray's going to be back.
Yeah, Kyler is going to be back. And I just the whole Falcons team is just so disappointing. There's been so many games that this team should have won that they just either give away or don't understand how to win. And then after the game, it's like complaining about this or that or the other. There's always like excuses. And I just there's no team right now that's frustrating me more, because I know what they could be doing here. And yet they're continuing to fail, and they're setting themselves up in situations in games that they're playing well. I just didn't understand how they blow that game to Josh Dobbs. I have nothing on this game whatsoever. I know that some very sharp over money came in, anticipating that Kyler Murray was going to be back. And if Josh Dobbs can carve up your defense, Kyler Murray should be able to get some success as well. Maybe this Falcons defense isn't as good as we thought. But I don't have a lot of confidence in betting the over here with Kyler coming back in his first game. You never know really how good he's going to be. And I don't trust the Falcons offense in this spot either, even though it's a great situation for them. The Cardinals don't blitz. The Cardinals don't get pressure. Taylor Heinicke is so much better when he's not blitzed, when he's not getting pressure. So they should be set up for some success. But do you trust them? No. So this is the untrustworthy bowl of 2023. I'm not going to put my money on this one.
So Chargers are home to the Lions at Sohi, and they've won two in a row, but they beat the Bears and Jets. What are we to believe about Herbert and the Chargers? Here they take on a team that's legit.
They are legit, and my biggest question mark of this game in terms of how I'm going to handicap it is, what are we going to get out of this Chargers offense? Because I have relative confidence that I'm going to get what I should be from a scoreboard perspective out of the Detroit Lions here. This Chargers defense has been great against the run, and so they might slow down the run game of the Detroit Lions. However, Detroit is going to have some success passing the ball. I think Sam Laporta is due for a good game. I think Amon-Ra is going to have a good game here. And so for those reasons, and the fact that I think that the O-line is going to protect Goff well enough, I think the Lions are going to be able to score a little bit. My big question is, Justin Herbert does not look right to me. I know it's his non-throwing finger, but that finger does not look good. He looks like he's being overcautious with it, the way that he's falling and the way that he's playing. And then Austin Eckler's not going to have much success running the football. On the season, he's averaging just 3.6 yards per carry, which ranks 34th in the NFL, a 4.1% explosive run rate. This defense is very good against explosive runs. I don't think we're going to have some explosive runs out of Eckler here. And so it's going to be Herbert dropping back. And who is there to pass the ball to? You know, Josh Palmer, he's out for four games. There's Quentin Johnson, who they drafted, has not been very good. And you're only going to be throwing it really to Keenan Allen with any level of confidence here. I just don't know how much the Chargers are contributing to the scoreboard at all.
The Giants are 17-point dogs at Jerry's World against the Cowboys. DeVito will be the quarterback. It sounds like a mess.
Yeah, DeVito, not an NFL-caliber quarterback, unfortunately, for the Giants. Not that it maybe is the end of the world, because they're going to lose a bunch of games, and they'll easily lose this one. I have very little confidence that the Giants do anything here to keep this one close. There's a couple of games where, like the game we just talked about, the Detroit Lions. If I'm interested in, you know, backing the Lions, what I might be interested in doing is simply moneyline parlaying the Lions to the Dallas Cowboys. And I think the last I checked, that was only minus 129, a moneyline parlay of the Lions to the Dallas Cowboys. I'll be looking to, like, throw in the Cowboys into a couple moneyline parlays of some shorter favorites that I like at a price that's right around minus 130 or better.
And then what about Washington going to Lumen to see Seattle?
I mean, last week the Patriots did not have the weapons to really attack the weakness of this Washington defense. Now that they don't have the edge pass rushers, they're going to be even more exposed to some passes deeper down the field. And the Seahawks are the exact opposite of what the Patriots were last week. The Seahawks have those wide receivers. They've got a trio of wide receivers that are very good at getting open and having success down the field. The problem is there's something wrong with the Seahawks offense. It's just not the same offense even as we saw last year. Last year we didn't know if we were going to get good Geno, bad Geno, how this offense was going to look. They looked great. This year, this offense looks disjointed. It does not look efficient. They're really failing. I think they're the third worst offense on third downs this year. So just a big drop off from what we should expect. The Seahawks are poised from a matchup perspective to have success against Washington. I just don't have a lot of confidence in it.
When we come back, we'll look at the Sunday night matchup of the Jets going to Sin City to take on Antonio Pierce's Raiders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, the Sunday Nighter, Warren, is in Vegas. It's the Raiders and Jets, and the Jets are 500. If the Raiders win, they'll go to 500 and be 5-5. They're ahead of the pack in terms of not having the bye. So, Antonio Pierce, do you really think they're a better football team than before? Or what's their status going into this game with the Jets?
Well, they're the same team. They just have better vibes. But unfortunately, vibes can carry you only so far. But right now, this team is just running off of, like, vibes and cigar smoke from the locker room, because I don't know that that's sustainable after a huge performance last week. Getting that win, I mean, you beat DeVito. Congratulations. Settle down a little bit here. Now you're going up against this Jets team that has a substantially better defense than what you were facing last week. Now, the style of defense that the Raiders play, they like to prevent deep explosive passes, so they sit back and make everything go underneath. Zach Wilson is happy if he can actually complete a five-yard pass down the field. I mean, that's ideal for the Jets. So I don't think this defense is going to actually stutter or slow down what the Jets ideally want to do offensively. In addition, I think the Jets might be able to get their run game going a little bit. I understood teasing the Raiders when they were a dog. I don't understand betting the Raiders if they're a favorite here, which they, I think the line is down to pick them, or maybe the Raiders minus one. Not something right. I'm interested in doing at all. If possible, I might be looking to tease the Jets at this number.
Do you think the kid can have a good game, Wilson, ever?
Probably not. You know, I don't think so, because he's not a good quarterback. So he had a decent game by his standards against the Chiefs. So I take that back. Maybe on occasion, but it's very rare, because he's not that level of quarterback. He's going to play closer to what he really is, which is a bad quarterback.
All right, Warren, fabulous stuff. Check out sharpfootballanalysis.com. Free week on there. Go jump on that. Follow Matt Sharp Football. We'll see you next Thursday from the MGM National Harbor. Thanks, Warren. Great stuff.